Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Darkhearts.
It's been a minute, so I kind of forgot our greeting. But yes, welcome. New year, new us. Not new us. Same no. us. New
oh, we year. We do need to change. We need to figure out which image one and change our.
Yeah. I feel like, well, yeah, we'll look at that later. I feel like there was one that had more votes than the others, but they both had a lot of votes. So that was
they
fun.
Did.
So thanks to everybody who helped out on that.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have a new cover art. We'll try to get that done today's. I'll upload it once we figure out which one it won.
Yeah.
So this way, sure. When the episode comes out, it'll be the new artwork.
Oh, yeah. So you'll be looking at our faces in cartoon mode. But, you know, there it is.
You got to love that AI art stuff. It was so much fun to play with.
It is fun. It's so fun. It's creepy how accurate it can be. And
I know
how fast it can do it.
My husband thought I put our pictures in for it.
Yes. It looks like something you would upload and then have them like you
digitized.
Know, made.
Yeah. He was like, I can't believe you're adding your image. I was like, I didn't. I just used words.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure did.
Descriptive words.
Which is crazy because those, it looked really good.
It did.
So
I enjoyed
that.
That
was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get on to our back and forth again, if you guys didn't see on our social medias on Friday, February 2nd, we are teaming up with After the Credits and the band Whitmore, and we are going to Malvern Manor in Iowa, which is supposed to be super haunted. After the Credits is going to be watching a movie called Martyrs. I probably won't be watching it because it sounds like it's a fairly graphic horror movie. Not my cup of tea. But we will be there doing like ghost tours, things like that. So go to our Facebook page. There's the event on there. And you can get tickets for it at eventbrite.com, which I will link in our show notes as well. But it's going to be fun. I'm not staying the night because I'm actually going to be working the next day as well. So
fancy, so I will also not, but
yeah. Know. But you guys can stay the night if you want to and stuff. I know a bunch of people are. I think the guys from After the Credits are going to be, and they're going to have movies then for later and stuff. So yeah. And so we're going to be doing an episode about like the history of Malvern Manor eventually. And then I'm hoping we get stuff on camera or audio that we can put into our show. I mean, we'll see. So
yeah, and it was supposed, or it was like what, like a mental, how, like, or what was it exactly?
It's been
something
a,
medical.
I say it's been
wise,
a bunch of different
right?
things. I think it's been a house. I think it's been a doctor's, hospital, maybe a mental
some
asylum.
Kind of,
I don't know, like a
weird.
Mental hospital or something.
Yeah,
it's been a bunch of different things. I'm really excited to like really
creep factor.
Yeah,
so
I'm really excited to deep dive into it because I want to say I kind of came across it when I was doing the Villisca House paranormal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's been on my list to more deep dive into and see about. And, you know, I met these guys in Grand Island when I was doing the, Comic-Con type thing there. And one of them knows the guy who owns the Malvern Manor. So they're getting it all set up and it's been fantastic. So super excited for that.
Yeah. It's fun. Coming up. That's like soon.
It'll
Hopefully
be
weather
I know.
Permits because you never know.
I know. I'm hoping there's not like a blizzard or something. That would be horrible. Oh, you froze for a second.
You froze for a solid like 5 seconds. So
yep. That'll be just to see how the audio works. Usually our audio links up, but we'll see.
You know, basically all that was said was we hope there's not like a blizzard that day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where we were.
Exactly.
But,
perfect. How were your holidays?
I mean, fine. I feel like everyone that I know and their dogs and grandmas have been sick, like all over like the Christmas, my whole family was sick. Then I ended up with COVID and, you know, it was like just a lot. And I feel like we enjoyed what we could of it, but that's pretty much it.
Because your daughter was sick when you guys were heading back home, wasn't she?
Yeah. So that was not a fun drive at all. And I know you guys had just gotten over COVID in your
my
house,
daughter had
right
yep yeah, my daughter had an ear infection, my son had COVID, which luckily he was the only one. But then the day after Christmas, my husband luckily still had that day off, but he just felt super like tired and drained. And then like that whole week, so he stayed home Wednesday again, but his snoring was the worst. So I slept the whole week on the couch. So I slept like crap because his snoring even on his side was god awful. Yes. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no.
Did you see he did get me, well, by get me, he had his aunt paint me a picture of Wick.
Okay, I think I maybe briefly saw it, and I meant to go back and, like, look at it close, and I don't know that I ever did, now that you say that. So I'm glad that you said that. You have to send me a picture of it.
I will.
Or is it on your page somewhere?
It's on my Facebook page, too. Okay. I can send it either way. You should, but yeah,
because I want to. That's amazing.
It's the cutest. So it's, like, a 16 by 12, I don't know. It's a big-ass painting, okay?
Yeah.
You know? And because she's great. His aunt does phenomenal work. She painted our cat, Ren, one time because she was doing a photo competition thing. And so my husband told her, he's like, I don't know, because she wants you to tell her what you want. He's like, I don't know. She likes books and stuff. And, like, I kind of want it outdoorsy.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. The background, if you look closely, is a whole bunch of just books. And then she painted over it and stuff, and, like, words. And so then he's sitting on ground. Oh, my God. I absolutely adore it. It is
amazing.
It's fantastic. So that was.
I love
that. That was super exciting.
Wow, that's fun. That sounds like a good little gift. And
it was. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And now we're, like, into round two of Christmas break, because here in Nebraska, for those of you that are local, the snow, oh, you know, my kid went back to school last week on Thursday. And so she was there for 2 days. And then now we've had 2 snow days. And it's like, come on. We need some routine in our lives. Like, this is not helping. So
my daughter was so sad because OPS didn't cancel for today, which is Tuesday. Because, like we said, we do everything last minute, you guys. But so they didn't cancel until, like, a little before 9. So my son knew because he was still up reading, but she was passed out. So this morning she's like, I've got school today. I was like, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't. She's like, but why?
I know.
Like, it's closed. So my kids have been out. The 20th was their last day in December. So, okay, let's fingers crossed they're back in school tomorrow. Roads get cleared enough. Buses can go, right?
I could see it. Possibly.
So
well,
then they're gonna have another, so they'll have a what, 3 day week,
and then they'll have Monday off, right?
Yes, then they have a 3 day weekend and they have Monday off.
Yep.
And then they get on the last week of January, so February 2nd, they're off that day, which is also the day of our event, which I didn't realize.
Oh,
so
now I've got to
figure things out. Well, it's okay because we won't be there till later.
Though.
My mother-in-law, I already talked to her about helping with them. It's just, I was like, oh, you won't need to be here until after school. And I was like, oh, JK.
Just kidding. Yeah.
So I got to talk to her and see. But yeah, I'm like, When do we have school?
Yeah, I know, for real. That's kind of how I'm feeling. It's like, you know, I don't know. And I just don't like January anyway, because I feel like it's like the letdown of the holidays. And then it's cold and it's long and it's dark, you know? And so I'm like, and then now all this, I'm like, can we just get back into, like, routine? I think that's what I'm craving right now, is just some routine. But
well, and then I have my kids'. We usually do a joint birthday party the last Saturday in January for them. So we're doing that. We've got that figured out mostly and stuff. But then I'm like, okay. And then on February 5th, I'll get my hysterectomy.
Just to add to, you're not going to have a routine for a long time, like a normal routine. So
yeah.
Cool.
So
it'll be exciting. At least this is back on schedule, you know, at least we'll have new episodes and
figured that first episode after my surgery, I'll have to make sure I'm ahead of the schedule, whichever one of us, because I don't even know, I have to look to see whose episode it is. We'll have to try to record that early.
Yeah, we can definitely make arrangements and put breaks in there if needed.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully we'll still have an episode. Otherwise, there might be that 1 week at the beginning of February where we don't.
Yeah. And that's fine.
We'll keep you posted.
That's totally fine. But yeah, so welcome back, everybody. Thanks for taking a break with us. We hope you all had a wonderful break, if you got it. Holiday, family time, friend time, whatever time.
Hopefully you got a little bit of mental recovery, you know, some self-care going on in there.
For sure. Because we're back at it today. And it's, I would like to say it's, like, not heavy, but pretty much everything is heavy unless we're talking about Bigfoot. So, which,
I know.
I loved that. And on a side note, I do need to share with you. So we recorded that episode, and then I think it was like a couple days later that my daughter and I traveled back to visit my family, and we were talking about Bigfoot the whole way. And I was telling her all these different stories that you were telling me. Then we pulled up a podcast and we're listening, cause she's like super into Bigfoot. And so then we started seeing all these cars with like tons and tons of bumper stickers and stuff. And one of them, I even have a picture. It's on her phone though. I'd have to have her. I meant to send it to you forever ago. Like the tail lights were even like Bigfoot, you know what I mean? So like yeah, they would light up. Yes. It was so cool. And so then I was like, man, this is all just come in full circle. And so then, you know, she's like, gosh, don't you just wish you could see Bigfoot? And so then we went down that realm of like, you know, where is Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot real? You know, that whole thing.
That's
and
so, fun.
Yeah. So we were all in that. And that was a fun episode. So if you guys have not listened to that one, you for sure should, even if you're not into that stuff, because it's really fun and interesting and eerie. But
I love Bigfoot, but yeah.
Yeah. Today we're going to just be talking about that good old fashioned murder. But,
you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if you guys are ready, like I'm sure you are, yeah. Now that we're 11 minutes in.
Yeah.
Fine. So we're going to go to Ohio this week. Delta, Ohio specifically. So
okay.
We're talking about the murder of Sierra Joggin. So Sierra Joggin was born February 11th in 1996 in Sylvania, Ohio. Yeah. Yeah, she's 20 when this happened. So she was born to her parents, Sheila and Tom. Okay, we'll just go with that because I don't know how to say her mom's last name. And yeah, I don't know if they were married or separated or she just didn't change her last name, but they have two different last names. Not that that necessarily matters, but just for anyone looking up the case facts and are confused on that. So they nicknamed her C by, you know, her friends and family. So she went to high school, did all the normal things. She played volleyball, was a super good volleyball player. She graduated from high school in 2014. Then she went to college at the University of Toledo. So she was studying human resource management. She was super involved. She was a member of the business fraternity, Alpha Kappa Psi. And she was also interning at ICE. I don't know if it's ICE or just considered ICE Industries.
Yeah.
She planned to work there in the human resource management area after she graduated. She was just always super grateful for every opportunity that was given to her, and she made the most out of everything. So she was described as being full of life. She had a great sense of humor, loved to travel, especially when she was able to take a trip to Italy. She got to visit all the places.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I know. I was like, yep, yep. I would love that too. And then she also just kind of was described as like a very good mix of the small town girl, but also loved city life. So I feel like I feel that. I like living in the city and having the places, but sometimes I like a small town, like just going and not having it be so loud and busy, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's the Nebraska girl. But she loved the country and horses. So kind of a good mix. But she was, you know, super close with her family. She loved family traditions and she loved spending time with her family, especially when they would go to Coldwater Lake, which was like a pretty regular visit of theirs. So at the time of her death too, she was actually dating a guy named Josh Kolinsky, but they had been dating for several years. So clearly like
high school sweethearts
at this point.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think she had just finished her like junior year of college at this point too. So, on July 19th of 2016, Sierra was home for summer break and she was going over to her boyfriend's house because he obviously was home for summer break as well. And it was close enough that she would ride her bike to and from his house. I think it was like a couple miles, if that, very close. And the night that she had been at his house, she was actually leaving and he always liked to follow her back home on his motorcycle for part of the trip, at least just to make sure she got there safely. So, you know, and in the summer too, it's like still light outside. So it wasn't dark outside.
I say, depending on what time she left, it could still be like just getting dark at like 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Right. And I don't, it never really said what time, but they said it was still, I think, like daylight. I mean, enough gotcha. Where she could see enough to like go on her own if she wanted to, but he just liked to follow her. So about halfway to the, you know, through that trip, the mile in or whatever, she basically told him like, I don't need you to follow me. You can go ahead and go home. So, that's when she continued on, and then he turned around and went back home. Josh says that
poor man has so much guilt, doesn't he?
Yeah, sure does. I'm sure of it. But yeah, he said that he remembers exactly, you know, what he had said to her. He kissed her, told her he loved her, and for her to text him when she got home. So, okay. So as you can see where this is going, Josh never hears from her. And knowing that it wasn't that much further ride left, he reaches out to her family, and they said that she had not been home yet and they hadn't heard from her. So immediately they contact the police. And I was kind of surprised because it sounds like the police like took this serious, which I guess at a small town too, maybe they had more time open. I don't know, but
I mean, and they might know her, knew the family. And, yeah.
So they immediately kind of go out to look, and they come the way that they knew she would have been coming. And they do find her purple bike in a cornfield that was about a half mile from her home. The way that they described too, like the route between her boyfriend's house and hers was kind of just country out there kind of by a field. So it wasn't like, you know, in the main part of town where there's lots of houses and all the ring doorbells, which, well, yeah, 2016, there might've been some of those, I guess. I can't remember when those came out, but you know.
Yeah.
So when they find her bike, they know that something is wrong. So Megan Roberts was a special agent with the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation. She said she got a call about 1 a.m. that morning, and they asked her to come help process the crime scene because they already could tell that something good did not happen.
Oh, so they even brought in higher people.
And they didn't say why, like, initially either, other than finding her bike.
Because if she's part of the Ohio Bureau, that means FBI. Like,
yeah. So I think that they
wouldn't usually get involved. So they had to have reason to think.
Yeah. And I was reading a couple spots too where it talks about how they kept a lot of the information very close to them, especially like right away. So I'm guessing on this point too, before we get into what they end up finding, they had already found some of that, but was like, okay, we have enough to get some more help. So, so she gets called in to come help. So they look through the cornfield where Sierra's bike was found. And then this is where they did find other items that did help them. So they found a screwdriver, men's sunglasses, a sock, a set of fuse boxes, motorcycle tracks, and evidence of a struggle, such as broken corn stalks and streaks of blood on the corn stalks. So Megan Roberts, the special agent, said that it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. You just had this eerie feeling that you knew that this was some sort of abduction site because there was no sign of Sierra. So this was the information that they just kept to themselves. They didn't release any of that right away. And they end up, you know, blocking the road that she had taken. But they don't even tell, like, Sierra's family that they found her bike or anything. So they were completely in the dark at this point.
Like, I could see them not, like, disclosing everything else they found, but being like, hey, we did find her bike.
Yes.
We don't know, you know.
Right. Nope. Nothing. They just told them that they weren't letting anyone down that road because they were still investigating. So they didn't even find out until the next morning that her bike had been found. So imagine that, having to go all overnight, like knowing something happened, but not.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. But at the same time, like, at least give them something, you know, because.
Yeah. Like, hey, this we family's did find like, her. I don't know. Would it be worse? To know that they found her bike, but not her?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
That's so difficult.
Maybe. But then you would at least maybe have some hope that, like, okay, if she's not there, then there's still the possibility that she's alive or.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's difficult.
Yeah. So, I mean, as soon as they find that out, they, you know, get the community involved and they launch a huge search and they walk through all the other cornfields around that area. And they just kind of look for any sign of Sierra that they can. So then kind of all the while here, the police were given a blood-stained helmet that a farmer had found on the side of the road the night that Sierra had disappeared. He had brought it into the police that next day when he heard about her missing. He said he found it. It was kind of like, this is weird. And then when he heard that she was missing, he thought, okay, well, you know, but he, I mean, didn't have anything to do with it. So once they get that, based on just even that alone, they, you know, can kind of piece together that maybe someone who was riding a motorcycle was involved in whatever happened, which of course turns them to her boyfriend, Josh, who
right.
had been on the motorcycle. And plus he would probably just be a suspect anyway.
He would have been a suspect anyways. Like
boyfriend anyone close to her and the last person that saw her alive. Her. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So, you know, they look into him and he's super cooperative with the police. He even drew them a map of the route that she would take. He was able to pinpoint where they had departed and, you know, where when they went their own directions. And he said, you know, he felt terrible because he normally would just follow her home. But she was like, okay, seriously, like, it's fine. I'm so close. And so, I mean, yeah, talk about guilt. But he does consent to the police searching his house, the motorcycle, and he had a truck too that they looked. And they found nothing. I mean, they cleared him pretty quickly. And even her family said they never, ever suspected him. They said that he was like just a really good boyfriend, super involved. He always took really good care of her. I mean, clearly, like, if he's going to follow her home, too, I think.
To make sure she's safe.
Yeah, like, not everyone's going to do that. So,
I mean, a possessive, abusive boyfriend still
that's
could,
true.
Too.
I guess there's another route that could go. JK, send me a picture so I know your home.
Right. So, I mean, there is that aspect of it, but it, I mean, fortunately,
that's
it
true.
Sounds like that's not the case.
Yeah, I think the family like knew him well and knowing him from high school and, you know, they've known him in his family for a long time. So,
and if they've been together that long, if he was that controlling and abusive.
Yes.
Family would have seen signs for it because by that point, he would have tried to isolate her more and stuff like that, you know, like.
Yep. Agreed. So yeah. I think that was kind of like. They weren't worried about it, which is good. I was glad because when I first saw this, I was like, if it's the boyfriend, I'm going to be just pissed because it seems like that's always the case. So,
right.
I mean, it still sucks, but
I mean, statistically,
Josh,
it's usually
I like
the partner. Yeah.
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 It's fair. So, since they clear him, then they kind of just turn to the whole possibility of the fact that it was a stranger that abducted her, just maybe a crime of opportunity, wrong place, wrong time. So a break in the case finally comes when investigators are knocking on neighbors' doors. I don't know how this neighborhood set up, how far apart they are and how many that involves, but, there were several homes that they wanted to make sure they stopped at. One of the homes actually belonged to the man named James Worley. So James lived on County Road 6, which is the same road that Sierra lived on. So he could have been that way. When she was, I guess it just depends. And I know without knowing the exact layout of the road and all that, I'm not sure how close this would have been to her. But they show up at his house and they were surprised to like not have something set up so easy for them. But they said like he was just acting really weird and suspicious, which made it that much easier for them to kind of pursue him. So he was making lots of just self-incriminating statements that were placing him at the scene of the possible abduction. And he, based on one of the things I watched with him, like, I mean, clearly there's some sort of mental illness there too.
Okay.
You can just kind of tell. And, you know, he just seems so flustered. And he makes a comment about how he was riding his motorcycle and that his bike was having issues and it sputtered out. So he went into a cornfield and then he mentioned he lost his helmet, fuses, and a screwdriver and sunglasses. So investigators said that they literally had to pick up their jaws from like falling because none of that information had been released. So
right.
Like, there you go. Yeah.
So you just told police, I know you probably found all my shit. So
yeah.
I'm going to tell you and give you this
stupid
reason.
Yeah. And why, if it's not working, would you go off into like a cornfield? Maybe like push it home if you're that close.
Push it home or if there's someone nearby,
right.
Like a home nearby. Because if there's a cornfield, there's a possibility of there being a farmhouse or something nearby.
Right.
Not necessarily because sometimes those are massive fields. But
yeah.
Like,
and why did
you
have all these random things? Like, and why did you throw all those things, yeah, too?
And in 2016, you more than likely have a cell phone.
Yes.
So why aren't you at the very least staying on the side of the road and calling someone?
Yeah.
Because not a motorcycle is going to be... Yeah, because a motorcycle, not going to be easy to steal if you leave it on the side of the road and walk away.
Right.
But, like, a couple men driving by with a truck could possibly lift that into the back of their truck and take off with it.
Yeah. Oh,
so totally. You don't necessarily want to leave that there. So why?
So maybe that's why he pushed it. Let's chalk it up to that. He pushed it into the cornfield to hide it so he could come back to get it. But still, clearly we see where this is going.
Yeah.
But I think that's maybe where he was trying to take the story and thought that they would actually believe him. So because why of all would these you leave comments all that
stuff behind.
If
you're not in a rush and you're not struggling with a person.
And why is there blood on your helmet?
Yeah. Like, and like the sunglasses, maybe you dropped them and you realize, maybe I lost my sunglasses.
Screwdriver? Like, why did you have that stuff just handy? It's not like it's a vehicle where you have like a trunk that you just throw all your random crap, you know?
I mean, depending on the type of motorcycle.
Some of them, I guess, have. Yeah.
Some people have big, like, saddlebags on their motorcycles that could hold a decent amount of stuff.
Yep.
But unless you're going for, like, a road trip and you know that maybe your motorcycle is mostly reliable, but you know that maybe sometimes the spark plugs or whatever give out, you might have a couple things on hand.
Yes.
But if you're just in town, why?
No, do you have exactly. Those? There's really no reason. And it doesn't ever even make sense. So he gives them enough that they can execute, you know, a search warrant of his property. And he has a barn also where he lives. So, they obviously are going to probably start in that area. So in the barn, they find, a crate that was filled with women's lingerie and an empty bloodstained freezer that was like buried underground. So they find just odd things, and he really doesn't even have an explanation for any of it. It's just bizarre. So it was 3 days after she had went missing that they end up arresting him and charging him just with her abduction, because they don't have anything further yet. So as soon as that all happens, then unfortunately later that same day they do end up finding Sierra's body. So she was tied up, bound and gagged in a shallow grave in a separate cornfield that was about 2 miles from James's home. So James's charges now include aggravated murder, kidnapping, and felonious assault. So, yeah.
I'm picturing one of those, like, kind of out in the country communities where, like, homes are like maybe a half mile apart or something. Uh-huh. Because with all this women's lingerie, those types of places, a lot of times people will, like, in the nice weather, hang their laundry to dry.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So either this man is going through and stealing it or breaking into people's places. And this man, he did not acquire that lingerie
on his own. No. And something is wrong if this man is going in and buying lingerie, and people would probably think, I mean, to each your own.
The only way I could see him buying it is off of one of those websites that, like, people sell their used, which, listen, if you're the woman selling it, you get yours. But
But just gross.
I don't see him getting it, like, only like that or in by stealing it, by either breaking into women's homes or stealing it off of
clothesline. Clearly you got some other issues going on there where now it's kind of easy to, like, tie him with that. So so then once Sierra's family is notified, I mean, this is obviously comes with any type of horrible thing, you know. They just talked about how horrible it was. They all were sobbing, crying, and just like falling to their knees. Her mom said that it just sucked the life out of her. And I mean, this girl, like, she's so pretty too, and just like super, just had a lot going for her, full of life, you know? So, like, of course, they always are too. And it's so sad. But it's just like such a random thing too. It's like, she just, you know, would go to her boyfriend's house all the time. So something like this is just so crazy.
But it also makes me wonder then, which I don't know if you'll come up to this later, but if he lived near them, if he was familiar with her,
you know,
and
I never really found any of that, but I'm going to say probably, because of the fact that they lived on the same road. Maybe he did see her and was like, oh, she is always on this road.
Right. She's always riding her bike on this road. You know, if she kind of has a routine with it, which is something that as women, especially, we have to be careful about. If you have, like, if you're going to work, like, you have to take different routes. Like, you have to change up your routine. It sucks because if someone's watching you.
I know. And she's just this cute girl, young, and like, I'm sorry, riding her bike. I'm like, cool, I would drive. Like, that shows you the difference between what kind of people we are. I still would have
driven. Yes.
Yeah. Or had your boyfriend come pick you up on his motorcycle. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's like, good for you.
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah. So based on evidence that they collected at the abduction site and then at James's barn, they believe that James just passed by Sierra on his motorcycle, saw her, went back, hid in the cornfield further kind of up the road, and then attacked her as she rode by on her bike. They think he hit her in the head with his helmet, which would say why there was blood there. Yeah. They think that he, you know, knocked her unconscious, whatever, left the scene, and then came back with his truck, abducted her, took her to his barn, kept her there until she asphyxiated, and then disposed of her body. There were some, like, obviously not a ton of details as far as that, but she was gagged with a dog toy. I read that, and that's what suffocated her eventually, because he had her tied up and he had that thing so far into her mouth and throat that she
couldn't breathe at all.
Yeah. Which is absolutely awful, but I was glad that it wasn't like a vicious, vicious attack as far as like different weapons. You know what I mean? Like a torture like, when thing. You hear that is
screwdriver
but,
and stuff.
Yeah, like... I know. That's where I was like, I almost was like, I need to see what is happening with this case beforehand. But the positive news of any of this, I guess the silver lining in this horrible thing, was that there was no sign of sexual assault, which was, I was actually very surprised, especially with having the women's lingerie.
The whole point. Yeah.
The motive behind it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it was more maybe just like a control thing.
Yeah. Or he didn't mean to have her die so quickly. Like, he didn't realize how far he choked her. He like stashed her until he could come back later to do that. And then when he came back, she was dead.
Already dead. Yeah.
He didn't want to.
Yeah.
That was too far for him. Just awful.
I know. I was like, okay, I am adding that in there because I was like, thank God. That's like one less thing that this poor girl had to endure. I know.
Yeah.
I know. The police were able to link DNA from both of the crime scenes to both James and Sierra. So it gets a little interesting because Sierra, it turns out she was not his first victim. So there was a woman named Robin Gardner, and she's a woman who was abducted by James under very similar creepy circumstances in 1990, but lived to tell her story. So
did he rape her?
You know what? It never actually says what happens. I could not find any of that. But I think he was planning on killing her. He also like abducted her at night. She was actually able to testify in court at the trial for James for this murder trial. And he actually had pled guilty to abducting Robin and served 3 years in prison for that.
That's
so
it?
Yes. And that's why I was curious what had happened. And I don't know why. I mean, I'm sure more of this was because it was focused on Sierra versus.
Right.
But I was like, okay. So there's a red flag. And I mean, more comes from that. But it was neat, though, because I mean, Robin said that she felt very strongly that she had to be the voice for Sierra. She said that she knew the fear that Sierra must have experienced because she had lived through that same thing. And she said she thought she was going to die also when he had taken her. And since Sierra wasn't there to speak, Robin said she had to do that for her. So James pled not guilty to all of the charges at this murder trial. And his team argued that there was a lack of his DNA on some of the evidence. So they're saying because of that, there's definitely reasonable doubt. Like, that was seriously a Hail Mary, because what else? There's, like,
nothing.
I think
at that point, like, you have to defend this person. So you're probably like, I don't know, just make up some BS thing, because you know he's guilty, and you know we're not winning this.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like it was probably a public defender, like, just based on circumstances. He doesn't seem like a big well-to-do where he could afford some top line, you know? Yeah. And they even probably were like, eh. Sorry, bro. But
yeah.
Yeah. So let me find my spot. Sorry. That was that. But the jury, of course, finds him guilty on all counts against him. So they sentence him to death, and he is on death row awaiting his execution. I saw somewhere, and I thought I had put that in here, but that the date, his date of execution is set for 2025. So that's not that far out.
No.
Of course, you know, he's trying to work on all the different appeals, but his conviction was upheld by the Ohio Supreme Court, but he's trying to work on the federal appeal now. Like, okay, I guess you have nothing else to do, but
I mean, they always do that. I think you have, like, with a death penalty, I think there's an automatic appeal in, like, typically, but then there are several that you can exhaust before. Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. So, like, you want to make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted or whatever is. You know.
Dot your I's and cross your T's. Yeah.
Yep. So it was interesting, though, too, because then it was brought up that in 1996, James had been questioned by the police about a disappearance of a different woman named Claudia Tinsley. So after her mother reported her leaving in his car, her mother said that James had told police that he just drove around for 45 minutes before dropping her off. And he denies having any kind of role in her disappearance. And he was never actually charged with anything related to this, but I wanted to mention it, that it is a bit ironic that he was questioned in this years after Robin.
There's no
and
way
then
he
years
didn't.
Before this. I know. Yeah. I'm like, clearly there's a pattern here, and it would have just continued. And
my thing is there's got to be women in between then.
I know.
Because 90 to 96, okay, he was in jail for 3 years or so.
Right.
So maybe we have a little bit of time. But then from 96 to 2016, there's no way there's not more women in between.
I know.
There.
I agree. And I think, like, I never found anywhere where they found this Claudia Tinsley, which makes you think, where did he dispose of her body? I mean, and maybe he didn't, but, like, chances are he had something to do with it. So then
it seems highly unlikely if he was the last one to have seen her, that it wasn't him. But then it also makes you wonder, like, why wouldn't you have hidden her body where you hid
the other one? Like, were you just in a hurry if that was the case, or more?
I would assume so.
I know.
I don't know.
I don't know, but clearly
again,
there's a pattern
here. Not
telling
you how to get away with murder, but if you got away with
one. Use the same spot if you got away with it. Yeah. I mean, kind of common sense, but
right.
I wouldn't
But, like,
know.
Just don't do horrible shit like this.
Yeah, honestly. That's what it comes down to. And if he already admitted to being with her, too, like, what are the chances that you did drop her off? You're saying you dropped her off. Her mom is saying, no, you didn't. So... Yeah. Okay.
The thing with that, if they, like, this time, obviously he left so much shit behind, but if that time, the only thing they had was that she got in the car with him and he was the last one to see her, but if they had no body, they had nothing.
Yeah.
Then they can't charge him.
That's true. If they really don't have any other thing other than that, and he's denying it all. So
if that case is still open, which I would hope it is,
I know.
I assume he would still be listed as a person of interest.
Yeah. Which I guess now, if it was him, it'll die with him too then. I mean, when he gets executed, which is crazy.
Listen, if you're going to be that shitty, like,
I know.
Just tell people then.
Yeah. And now, like, you were already sentenced to death. Like, you're not going anywhere. I mean, you are, but like
once all of your appeals are exhausted, like,
just share for, why not? Like, that's stupid. I mean, it makes me just more mad at people like that do things like this, because it's like, if you did something like this, just admit to it. Like, if you're going to be cowardly
like
that,
in jail.
Maybe
you're not
you shouldn't
getting
have
out.
Done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But on the positive note on this whole thing, after it was all said and done, Sierra's aunt, her name was Tara, she founded this Justice for Sierra, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to making the community safer from repeat offenders. So because of this, this resulted in passing Sierra's Law, which is an Ohio statute that created a searchable violent criminal database. So her family thinks that it's amazing that she's still continuing to make changes in the world. So this is basically, like, I take it as kind of like a sex offender registry type thing where you're able to look it up and see
violent offenders. And
because I mean, that makes sense. If you would see that and know that he lived right there, Like, if I looked that up in my neighborhood and saw someone that did something like that was right there, I would definitely never let my kid outside, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean.
Well, and that's, so that's what makes me curious too about the first woman he kidnapped, because you would think if he did sexually assault her, he'd be mm-hmm. a registered sex offender unless mm-hmm. he pled down and that got dropped.
Right. It makes me wonder, and I'm going to see too, I should have looked more at that when I was doing it. But yeah, so I,
well, you're focusing on one case and stuff.
I know,
like that.
But that was an interesting thing because I was like, what the heck, you know, what did this woman have done to her as well? Not that we need to know or want to know,
but I think that that would tell you like a motivation. Yes. It could,
like
it
a
could
sexually
just
motivated
be,
crime.
Yeah. It could just be a whole dominance. He hates women type thing too.
Yes.
Or, I'm like, these, you know, he's like, these women would reject me or whatever, you know, like.
Yep. Yep.
If Claudia, because Claudia was the second victim, right? They're the second woman who was seen with him.
Yes. Yep. Because that was in 96, I think.
Yeah.
So
it makes me wonder if she got in with him and she rejected him.
Yeah. Oh, because on here, yeah. Okay. Just a little bit on hers. I know this isn't what this one was about as much, but she just said that, he had basically told her, get in this truck or I'm going to kill you. That's what the headline says. But let me see if I can find.
If it describes.
But
anything.
She was also on her bike. That was the thing that was. Yeah. So she was riding her bike. And then. Let's see. Okay. So, yeah, this part of it says that I guess he had threatened her with a screwdriver at her throat. Ironic, because they found one, but he held a screwdriver to her throat and threatened to kill her if she didn't get in the car. See, this is interesting because it still doesn't really
say much.
I think, well, it sounds like, sorry, as I'm reading, I should have looked this up, but I was like, can I just spend more time on the Sierra thing? But now I'm a little bit intrigued because I couldn't find what I wanted, but it sounds like she escaped because he had her in his truck and she was able to get out and run off and flag someone down before that, any sort of assault actually happened.
Okay.
But we don't, I mean, it makes you think then maybe something would have. So, okay, that's probably why I didn't find like those details, which I'm glad that she didn't endure that, but yeah, the trauma, like mental toll that takes.
That is
so, yeah,
that is, oh my goodness. So horrifying. I bet you he had that screwdriver to threaten.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why I thought it was, you know, when it said that their circumstances were eerily like similar. Well, totally then. And they both did have a head injury. So I think because of just that initial hitting with the helmet too with Sierra, which is awful, and I think about the impact of that with what kind of power I guess you would use.
Yeah. And if his first victim wouldn't have gotten away, this is a serial killer.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
because I 100% believe that the second woman from 96,
I think so too,
he killed.
Yeah, the fact that
there's a like very slim chance, but
yeah, it's a little bit too ironic that it all is the exact same. And I don't know. And he, I just, the whole like lingerie thing in the crate is just interesting. And I don't want to know anything more about that anyway, but like, it's just so sad because it's always these, nobody ever deserves it, but like,
no,
you know.
Well, but those are the cases that always have more of the coverage, though, too, is it's always the women who lit up the room and
cute blonde. Yeah, this girl's adorable. And exactly. So I kind of was surprised I didn't know that one. Just being as recent as it was and like pretty big. But maybe it was because it wasn't they found her body fairly quickly.
It was all pretty quick.
Where a lot of the ones you hear about more about is when they're like searching for someone for days.
Yeah.
And then, so I actually thought about covering this week, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, because of her big release, you know?
Oh, yes.
And, which is interesting. I actually watched the Lifetime special. There's like 4 episodes and it's way interesting. And I mean, I had, you know, I think you and I, we've both watched the like series.
The HBO one.
And then there was a Hulu one.
I didn't watch the Hulu one because that was like dramatized.
Yeah, it was. It totally was. I watched it, but I kind of had forgotten some of the things, but it's very interesting hearing it from her perspective because like she even is like quick to say like, what I did was wrong. Like, murder is not the answer, but also my life was a living hell, you know?
I mean, so, when you're treated in that way,
yeah.
Like, yes, it was a very like violent death. And like, yeah, she was mentally unwell because she had such mental and physical abuse put against her. So that way, I do think in those situations, and the thing that's difficult too, because her boyfriend who she got to do it, if I remember right, he was autistic.
He has like, there was definitely some, and like more than that IQ. Even I think
yeah
after watching this there was stuff I even wasn't aware of that they talked about now with him too that I was well, and, I mean it's been a while since I had
like, I remember the HBO documentary I felt like didn't give a lot of information very well, you know, with stuff like it didn't go as in depth because my thing is like I even think for him it, like there should have been like a mental allowance.
I agree. In the fact that he got or she got paroled and he was denied all that and stuff, which I mean, I get it. He's the one that physically did it. But I highly suggest if you ever do have the time to watch that, it's very interesting because it's a full interview of her in prison. Okay. I mean, it's like the day before she finds out if she's going to get paroled.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting. And she's very open and honest about everything that went on. I mean, and she takes ownership of it and she's not trying to just play the victim, which I was like happy for that because I didn't want, I mean, I figured it would be like, I didn't do this, you know? Oh man, sorry. Can you hear my dogs,
it's
guys?
Fine.
And so, but it's interesting. And there was way more stuff that I was unaware of as well. There was a like sexual abuse and stuff too that gets brought up, which makes a lot of makes more sense too when you're like, well,
yeah,
I get it. But still.
I mean, like you said, like, I mean, I can't blame her.
Yeah.
And for him, even like it was such a violent death. And so I think, I don't know, it's been a while. So like if he did, like, I can't remember. Did he sexually assault mom?
No, he actually wanted to, and because he didn't, he forced Gypsy to be sexually assaulted by him.
That's right.
It's just, so that's it's icky.
So that's where I can kind of see, I'm like, okay, he's got some mental stuff, but clearly we're also maybe dangerous. It's been a minute since I've
Well, and they talk
back
a lot more on this about the things than his control over her. And it got
which, when you're already in
and,
a when you're already in an abusive situation, you're more likely to then go into another one. You have this person who's, you know, you just want freedom, and then it's easy for those types of people, to prey on you for that. So I will have to go in and watch that.
You should.
It has been a while because I'm
It's like annoying, and it's all over everything with her. And I was kind of annoyed. And then I watched it, and now it's like, oh, and I'm like, maybe I'll cover that sometime just because, like, we know, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't really know that case. Or
I feel like it's one that I remember when Mommy Dead and Dearest was like a thing. And I felt like it was, that was before like the true crime people were very open about being into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's one of those cases that's either really, like, you either really know it or you don't know anything at all.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that would be one that could still be worth covering. I'm going to have to watch that.
You should. Because I was, like, super into it, like, watching this thing with her. And I was like, oh, I got to watch the next one now. I got to watch it. And now I'm like, just because it's really interesting. And it was funny because I even saw where she, like, went on The View or one of those dumb, you know, TV shows. And they said something to her about, well, you didn't have a choice. You had to. And she, like, it was very funny and awkward because she straight up said, I did have a choice. What I did was wrong. Murder is wrong. And they were like, oh, yeah. Like, she just called them out. Like, it was very awkward and kind of funny. Because,
well, it's not like it was a her, you know, her mom or her situation.
Yeah, like, that's what they made it sound like. And it's like,
I mean, she didn't have the resources. The girl was failed a lot by doctors. Like, that was the biggest thing I remember from Mommy, Dead, and Dearest was, like, these doctors dropping the ball like none other. And like when they got the Make-A-Wish Foundation, all these other things, like where her doctor's not like, she doesn't have cancer. Yeah. She's not dying.
And some of it was weird because then when they moved a ton, which I wasn't about. And when they would move, then they had been down where Hurricane Katrina had happened. Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh, all the records were lost because that was still before things were like electronic. So they started from scratch. And one doctor did try because he noticed the birthday years were different on like birth certificates and stuff. And I mean, they interview all these different doctors though that took care of her on the show. And like, they even straight up were like, I messed up, you know? And so it's kind of nice to take some ownership, but it's good.
That case is definitely
an we'll save that. One. Yeah. As we go down that hole, we'll just sometimes do that one.
Talking about it. Yeah. Well, that's like, I don't remember. I saw a TikTok or something. I don't remember what it led to, but it was like these people like interviewing moms, like, would you kill for your child? And they're like, no. I'm like, I'm sorry. Am I the weird one who'd be like, instantly, yes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it would depend on the circumstance, but like,
like, I'm not going to just let my kids like, hey, I don't like this person. Will you murder them? But like,
If it came down to it, like, and in the heat, I mean, if someone had broken and was trying to kill,
I mean,
kill me and not my kid, like, duh,
you know? Might go vigilante if someone assaulted or did something wrong to my children like that. Oh, so,
I
know.
I'm like, I would be sitting in prison with whoever.
Which something like that ever happens, now I'm going to jail. I'll be prime suspect.
Yeah. Like, now that we know that it's out there. Yeah. Don't mess with my kid is what this is. This is a warning.
Yeah.
So no, but really like mama bears, you know, I get it.
Yeah. But speaking of watching stuff, I guess, like, I'm not even talking about what I've read. I have already started some new books. I guess I'm just going first.
Go ahead, because I'm like, I don't really have much. It's been a whirlwind of...
I did hit my 200... I read 201 books last year.
Good job.
So now this year, I actually just put in a spreadsheet all of my physical books that are at my TBR. I don't want to talk about how many are there.
There's probably a ton, and that's okay. That just means that's a good ambition to get
reading. I'm not trying to read my whole TBR because it's over 350.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep growing because books are going to keep coming out. So yeah,
so, but I am going to try to, like, actually, like, I highlighted the ones that I for sure, like, I highlighted, like, 135 so far that I for sure want to. This isn't including my audiobooks.
Yeah.
That I want to try to make sure I get read this year. But, I did read these cute little, like, they're middle school books, although to me they feel like more like young adult, like still G-rated, but it was Amari and the Knight Brothers, and then the sequel to that, and the third one comes out this year. And those were really good. I really enjoyed that. Magic. It's just a fun little thing. I really enjoyed that one. It covers some great stuff. And then I read Never Whistle at Night, which is a bunch of dark fiction stories, and they're all written by Indigenous peoples.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that series name. Like, that just sounds good and creepy.
Oh, it's so good. The cover's beautiful. So, but then I did start rewatching The Good Place over the holiday break because I adore that show so much.
I have never watched that show, but I know other people that have watched it as well. And maybe
it's on Netflix. There are four seasons. They're only like 20-minute episodes. You should go in and just binge.
That's more doable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could totally do that.
Yeah. So I highly recommend doing that. I did also watch Netflix's new sci-fi movie, Rebel Moon. It's like part one, and then part two comes out in April. It's like sci-fi, so not really your thing. But for people who like that, I will say it was entertaining. The acting at times was a bit cheesy. But I'll still watch part two because I want to get some more backstory on some stuff. Like, it was entertaining.
Enough to pass some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good. I don't know. I mean, no, nothing. I don't think I did anything. Well, we're hopefully going to go see Night Swim. So. Yes. I was super excited when I saw that trailer. And I have a book called The Night Swim. And so I was like, oh, is it this?
See, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not. Obviously, yes, you've seen the trailer for it.
Mean Girls, the musical movie, comes out too. I really want to see that as well.
I saw the musical, the Broadway one, at the Orpheum a couple years ago, and it was amazing.
I remember.
I have the soundtrack. And so I'm stoked. So we're definitely going to that. But I don't know. I don't know how appropriate. Like, my daughter saw the musical, but that was also before she even knew what probably some of the things were that they were talking about. So it was easy to just, like, over the head. But now I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I need to check that out before I take her. So.
Yep. I hear ya. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about the musical.
And yeah. Movie it's amazing. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully we're going to finally get some good movies coming out now that we got more things in the works, I guess. But
yeah. So I have so many shows I need to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw Wonka, I guess, that if that counts.
Oh, yeah. How was that? Oh, yeah. I saw you went to the 4D. I want to do a 4D. So bad.
I saw it regular, just normal.
Yeah.
Before Christmas. And then we loved it. And so then we were like, oh my gosh, they do this 4D. And I have a friend who actually went and saw it in 4D. She was talking about all the cool things the theater did. So we go to the same theater. Our seats like did nothing. And yeah. And I was like looking around and I saw other people kind of like looking around too. Like I thought it would be a full immersive situation type thing. Mm-mm. And they even say like on the trailer thing yeah. like make sure you're seated and if you get up you watch where you're walking so you don't whatever yeah. And no, so I've reached out but I haven't even heard back from them, but I was so disappointed. Only like one time I felt my seat kind of like vibrate and that was it.
I wonder if they didn't like turn on whatever it was supposed
I know
to be.
Because like you could tell when you went in, like the seats were all kind of at a weird like angles, like it hadn't been like reset or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I thought waiting for it, like, yeah, no. And there's like little scent things. And so my friend that went said you could smell chocolate, like, cause it depends on what movie, obviously. And so
cause one of my neighbors took her kids to the newest Transformers one there. And she said the air would blow, water would spray you. Yeah.
It snowed like twice, which it was so loud that like, then you couldn't really hear the movie. Cause it was like, and you could see it and it was just right up at the front, which was still cool. And there was a couple times that like the lights would flash when it was like lightning. But other than that, then it didn't do like anything else. I was pissed. So I don't know if it was just like not all the things were working that day or what, but I still want to give it another shot because I have another friend who went and saw Mario there and said it was like squirted like water at them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so I think we just went on a bad day, but to sum it up, so I'm not giving them a plug there, but I think it's a cool idea. So
well, they should definitely be giving you free tickets to another 40 movie.
I definitely was a Karen about it, but I haven't even.
Oh, I would be too. There are certain situations where I don't think that makes you a Karen. Like people be like, oh, I was a Karen.
Right.
There are certain situations where that's not a Karen situation. That's a
I paid a lot
money.
Yes, tickets were because it's definitely more than the average.
Tickets are already expensive.
Oh yeah, for sure. So. When I hear back on that and I get free tickets, then you and I can go see something and we'll make sure. I think like seeing a scary movie or something would be super
that would be
cool
so cool.
I don't know if they do them or not.
Do them, yeah. We'll have to keep
either
an eye
way.
Out.
Yeah, we'll check it out. But Wonka was adorable and I loved it so much. So he was by far my favorite Wonka and I love him.
See, I'm torn on if I want to see it or not because like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka, like I've never been huge on. Like,
no, we watched that last night again just because I was like trying to tell my daughter because she didn't really remember it. And she was like, this is weird. I was like, no. Yeah, the other one's better. It's not, well, and that was Tim Burton too. Are you talking about the old one or the one with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, but even the old one with Gene Wilder.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's not creepy at all. It's more of a musical and like it's so, I love the music. And
well, and I love Timothy Chalamet.
I love him. I don't even know how to say the name. So.
What's his face as the Oompa Loompa?
Oh, yeah. Hugh Grant was great.
Yes.
So good.
Like, that looks fantastic. Like, hilarious. Yeah. So, like, those are the two reasons why I'm like,
you would watch it.
Yeah.
You should totally go see it. I loved it. And it just
good
made me really want chocolate after that movie, which is
I always want chocolate.
Something I want anyway. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Perfect. But yeah, now that everyone's listened to that,
I
don't have like anything else. I'm just like, chatterbox since it's been a minute. So,
well, like I said, you guys, remember we have our event coming up on February 2nd. Go to our Facebook page, which is linked in the show notes for the event, or I will link to Eventbrite so you can get tickets for it. And, you know, if you can follow us on any of our socials or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, share, all of those things really help us.
Comment
we appreciate
our stuff on, we love the engagement stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Just anything, you know, you can do to help share, spread the word. We greatly appreciate it.
Sure do.
Yeah.
That's so it.
Until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.